Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood has recently undergone heart surgery for an aortic aneurysm. While he recovers, we will be airing best of shows. We hope you will pray for his recovery. God willing, he will be back with us in a matter of weeks. Meanwhile, if you would like to drop him a note of encouragement, please email him at radio@pastorwood.org. Thank you, and enjoy the broadcast.
Well, folks, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 3, we see a story of a miraculous healing. We'll look at that first, and then we'll look at Acts chapter 4, the message that Peter brings there as well. Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to the men of Israel, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you, to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem, and Annas, the high priest, was there. So were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Folks, this is another beautiful example of God at work in the life of Peter. You remember when we started looking at Peter's life, we saw in the same chapter where on the one hand he is commended for his confession of who Jesus is. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then just a few verses later, he is rebuked more strongly than anyone else when Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now here, just verses apart, how can this be? Well, the explanation is right there in that passage, and it is basic to what we're looking at this morning. First of all, when Peter got it right, Jesus said, "It wasn't flesh and blood that revealed that to you. You didn't say that because of your own intelligence. You said it because you were listening to my Father. It is my Father who has revealed this to you. But when he turns around and tries to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross, he is rebuked because instead of listening to the Father, he's listening to the father of lies. One of the things I've tried hard to teach my children and others over the years is not to accept whatever pops into your head as even your own thought. Because we all have a sinful nature that we have to put to death. But we also have a lot of help in the temptation department, particularly after we become Christians, where evil spirits suggest things to us for our own harm. Wow, that looks good. I deserve that. Hey, nobody has to know. Those are the kinds of thoughts that we hear and tend to embrace as our own desire. And then wonder after, why did I do that? What was I thinking? That's the way that we get led astray. The devil knows how to sound like us. His demons know how to sound like us. And so when they tempt us, most often it will come in our own minds sounding like us. And we think that's what we want. Peter sometimes listened to the Lord and sometimes listened to evil spirits. But I want you to see that in this passage, the reason for his success, the reason for his power, was because he was believing what God said, confessing what God said, and obeying, walking out what God said. Look again in chapter 3, if you would. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Why were they going there to do this? Well, because it was time to go and pray. Even though they had found the Messiah, they took seriously the privilege of worship. And so they gathered with others for prayer. But as they were going there, along with multitudes of people who went at that time of day to pray, as they were going there, they encountered something. A man crippled from birth who was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. Was this the first time Peter or John had been to the temple? No. But on this day, it was this man's time. Don't just accept the way things are as the way they have to be forever. Because sometimes we have problems that we've just kind of adjusted to and decided, well, that's the way it is. I can't change. I'm just that way. And we see in Scripture repeatedly that there are pivotal moments, kairos moments, not just chronos. It's not just time like a clock. It's time like life-changing event. This is a moment when God intervenes. This is a moment of opportunity. There are times when God gives you an open door. Peter knew what it was to seize the moment because he was listening to God's Spirit. And so, as they went up to the temple, Peter looked straight at the man. There's so much here. Peter and John looked straight at him. And then Peter said to him, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. But he had no clue what he was about to receive. How many times do you and I set our sights so low, failing to even dream of what God is prepared to do for those who trust and obey? This man did not expect a healing, but God had in mind to heal this man. He looked up expecting to receive something, and Peter says to him, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he helped the man up. It doesn't say, and instantly when the words came from Peter's lips, this man was visibly healed. He wasn't. That happened after Peter reached out in obedience to the Lord's Spirit. After he reached out in obedience to the Lord's Spirit and took the man by the hand and raised him up. As he helped that man up, then the miracle took place. Obedience is what God is looking for. And if you and I are not willing to obey what God says, we should not be surprised when we don't see miracles. God put it in Peter's heart to offer this man healing. And Peter spoke with authority. And as he obeyed, the miracle took place. But I want you to understand, it didn't happen the day before. It didn't happen the year before when Jesus was out healing people. It happened when God decided that it should happen. It was the time for this man to receive this miracle. You and I are not in control of the timing. But may God grant that God would be in control of us, that we would be yielded to him, eager to do his will. So, the healing takes place. There's great rejoicing. A crowd gathers together. And when Peter saw them, he said in verse 12 of chapter 3, Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? I love this guy. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Peter says the reason this has happened is because God did it to bring glory to Jesus. Not to bring glory to Peter, not to bring glory to John, not just so that this man could walk. The point of the miracle was because God was ringing a bell and saying, wake up, people. Realize that Jesus is the Messiah. Now look at what Peter says next. The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Peter, I'm sorry, but I need to give you some coaching here on how to do evangelism. You don't want to make people feel, you know, like they're being scolded. It's not good. Don't do that. Don't do that. You need to make people feel good. That's the way a lot of people are trying to do evangelism. And we wonder why there are so many unconverted people in our churches. Peter confronts them with their sin. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Wow. Is this really good preaching? Yes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he said these things. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now again, please notice, everybody knew this guy. That comes up repeatedly in this chapter and in the next chapter. This fellow who'd been crippled for over 40 years had been a fixture at that gate for over 40 years. He was there every day. God was saving him with his affliction for this moment. And yes, it's beautiful that he got to walk, but that wasn't the point of the moment. The point of the moment was praise to God. The point of the moment was the salvation of people who were headed for hell unless they put their trust in Jesus as Messiah. That's what it's about. All our afflictions in this life, all our troubles, all our difficulties are temporary. They're temporary. We don't get to choose how we die, but I'll guarantee you, unless Jesus comes soon, we're all going to die. Every one of us. But if you understand that whether it is sickness or healing, God's purpose is our good and His glory, then you can rejoice every day whatever you're going through. Peter told these people, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that He may send the Christ who's been appointed to you, even Jesus." In other words, he's already looking forward to the return of Christ, and we should be too. We should be too. He quotes again from Moses, and then he refers to the other prophets. "When God raised up His servant, He sent Him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." You're being given the opportunity right now to trust in Jesus Christ. Well, the priests, the captains of the temple guard, the captain of the temple guards, and the Sadducees came up to them and interrupted them. And they were upset because they were preaching the resurrection in Jesus' name. And the Sadducees, of course, had a theological problem with that because they were theological liberals who didn't believe in heaven or hell or the devil or demons or angels or the resurrection. And what does it say they did? Put them in jail. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. I want to ask you a question. Why did Peter and John go up to the temple? Because it was time for prayer. What happened? Well, they didn't exactly go as planned. They ended up obeying God, and a person got healed, and then they got to preach, and then they got arrested and hauled off and put in jail. And the next day, when they're brought before the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews, the elders of Israel, some of them Pharisees, some of them Sadducees, they've got an interesting situation on their hands. And Peter, again, filled with the Holy Spirit, points them to Jesus Christ and says, there's no other way of salvation. He's your only hope. The response of the leaders of Israel was to say, we can't refute this. Everybody knows they've done a great miracle. So what are we going to do? We're going to forbid their preaching in this name anymore. Folks, do you see again the insanity, the utter insanity of thinking that they are still in charge? Instead of recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord, these guys are still trying to run the show. And they're trying to tell Jesus' followers what to do. They had zero authority, and Peter says it as nicely as he can. I'll leave it up to you to decide whether it is better for us to obey you or God. That's what it comes down to. Folks, are you going to obey God? Because that's what Peter was doing. The explanation for his life and for the miracle was that he obeyed God. He didn't do what he wanted, when he wanted, when he thought it would be good. No. He did what God told him to do. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. So, they did not know what to do. They did not know what to do with these guys. And so, for the time being, they made threats, and then they let them go. Now, it's going to get different. It's going to get worse. It's going to get tougher. It's going to get harder. But the path of obedience is still the only path for those who would follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.